Good morning, Patriots. So I want to address one thing real quickly this morning before we start, but it kind of links into everything else. And I just noticed last night there was a discussion on the chat in live stream. So I think somebody was a little frustrated or something because they had made an introduction for me to for a conference in, I think it turned out to be a conference in Arizona, and that I hadn't responded yet. So first of all, I'm going to say this openly, thank you. But I also want people to understand that there's very few conferences in the near future that I'm going to attend. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And I appreciate people's interest to have me go to places, and I get quite a few offers. But the reasons are pretty simple. One, I will never fly again on this tyrannical airline system that has now become the enforcer of masks and soon to be COVID passports. It's never going to happen. So that's rule number one. Number two, that means that to me, to get to places, I'm going to drive. And that's a strategic decision, not because I'm incapable of driving. I've driven this country back and forth across the entire nation a lot of times in my life. And that's part of how I've come to know this country and love it so dearly, especially in the small towns. But what it means is that I have to manage podcasting and other business I'm doing from the road. And I've done that before, and it's not an easy thing to arrange. I'm not saying it's not possible, because it is, but when I'm sitting here right now on a daily basis, and we're looking at right now as a community, there's 90,000 downloads occurring a day. There's 2.8 million downloads that occurred in the last 30 days. The account broke 7 million downloads just yesterday or day before. It's a huge thing. So please understand that when I make these decisions, I'm making these decisions in terms of reach. There's a time and a place for all things, and God will present that. And that's really how I see it. So it's not, I don't want anybody to get upset if I didn't respond to something. I appreciate, and I don't want people to stop being kind and gracious. That's not my point. I just want people to understand there's a factoring that goes in. Two things that when I look at traveling, and there will be travel, trust me, that's coming, but it's in a time and place when God presents it. And when it does, I'm sure it will be glorious, and I'm sure he'll keep me so busy that I'll wonder where I can squeeze in a little bit more with less sleep. But I'm humbled how God guides. So that's all I can say there. Now, just a reminder for this week, I guess I'm going to have to keep saying it every day. There is no Spiff Report this week and probably not next. And there is no Bards FM this week or next, with some exceptions. Now, here are the exceptions. There are some interviews that I'm doing that I, like when I did yesterday, that I'll probably put up as a podcast, but it will be as a podcast for Bards FM. It won't be a live stream. And I'm doing that because this week and next week, I'm focusing on writing and another critically important issue, which is thank you notes. If you could see my studio right now, you would swear that I'm sitting here and you're like, what happened to your organization? Well, it's actually very organized, but there is, and I am not exaggerating, there is a stack of things that need to be responded to, and thank yous to Patriots that have been so unbelievably gracious with all the great letters and gifts that they've sent. It's long overdue that I take some time and I respond. All these things take time. So, and on top of that, there's a big garden I'm putting in. So I have over 300 plants in seedling right now that are all in their second stage of growth. And I've got another 120 some I'm transferring over from their starters to the second starter group. They're a little bigger starter growth pots today. So lots going on, and it's good. This is all good. So there 5 times a day, you'd be amazed at how, that's 10 hours, by the way, in a chair, just so I say it. I'm so thankful I have a great chair. I really am. It's truly an amazing chair. Thanks to an amazing patriot who literally donated the chair to me. When I say that, they contacted me and said, you need a better chair. And I'm like, how do you know that? And they're like, and this is not an exaggeration. They said, God has told me you need a better chair. What's the best possible chair you could buy? And I said, well, it's this. And they're like, okay, here's a check. Go buy it for yourself. So that's the type of world we live in. And I think where all this leads is I don't think that we reflect enough on how great we are. I'm humbled every day. And I'm humbled in a way that I think many times there's not enough thanks given to all that we are and all that is given. We talk a lot about the negative because the negative is something that we confront on a daily basis. But patriots are a very beautiful group of people. And it's sometimes when we're isolated and we're not seeing that, there's more giving than we can possibly imagine. I get a glimpse at it in a different way. And it's a humbling experience, and it's a beautiful experience to realize just how much giving is rooted in the culture of the Patriot movement. And it's selfless, and it's truly sincere. And it's none of the things that we talk about where it's obliged or leveraged. It's just purely beautiful. I don't know what else to say. There's an amazing level of commitment to a better life and a better world. And that's pure heart. I get handwritten letters regularly. And it's very humbling because it's a reminder of an older way. Not typed, but handwritten. And I don't mean like a small page. I had one a while back that was about 15 pages. Handwritten, and it was beautiful hand script, beautiful. I have a fairly good handwriting. I've tried to have a good one in my life, worked at it, but I admire when someone can write in such ledger that I look at it, I'm just like, wow, this is beautiful. We are really a beautiful representation of what God has asked us to be. And this is one of the things I said to somebody recently, is that I've traveled the world. I've been very blessed with that. And I haven't traveled everywhere, but I've traveled a lot of places and I've seen a lot of culture. And I've had the opportunity as well to live in certain parts of the world for extended periods of time to really get to know the people. And in spite of our flaws, and in spite of our corruption and our need to grow up and step up in a world where with a government and a system that's very complicated by the rest of the world. And I don't think that's talked about enough. I'll talk about it a little bit more next hour. But our system of government is unique. On one hand, it's a massive blessing given to us by God. On the other hand, it's a very big burden. And I don't mean burden in a negative way. It's a responsibility. We have to be engaged. But the amazing part with what that does for us is it creates an amazing people. Americans are, on one hand, on one hand, there's days I want to pound my head on the wall with people that are just like, come on, man, do you not see how much freedom you have? And on the other hand, the amount of giving that's in our culture and the beautiful hearts that are in this nation are unlike anything you will ever witness anywhere else in the world. No people have such a selfless way of being. Our biggest challenge is we tend to look outward and not inward enough. That's part of us growing up. We tend to want to solve the world's problems, but we forget that at times we have to retract and solve our own. To me, that's one of the great gifts that President Donald J. Trump gave us, was to stop looking outward for a while, not ever, but to turn the eyes inward and realize that we have some big, big problems we have to fix. But when we fix those, wow, the world has no idea what they've awakened. And it's not the awakened of the dark and evil or the military might, which we have. So one amazing thing about America is that for our sake of our freedoms in God, we probably are one of the most ruthless and devastating cultures ever to walk the face of the earth. But we're a people that is truly humbled in his light. And it's something that we need to hold dear and to use that as a very positive place in our world. So much of what is around us is about how bad we are. We do it here, and it's not so much about how bad we are. We're always trying to strive to be better and to overcome one of the most wicked cabals ever to rise up in the history of man, which happens to have made its home in D.C. and in every government agency across this nation. Just a small little thing. It is an evil, and it needs to be expunged with the ruthlessness in which we would expunge any evil on the face of this earth. And I'm serious about what I just said. We need to expunge the evil that has taken root in our country with the ruthlessness in which we have expunged every other evil on the face of this earth. And as happens in when evil takes root, it creates naive and foolish followers. What we also have to be is we have to be as gracious to those naive and foolish followers as we are with every other culture on the face of the earth. We are, on one hand, our greatest critic, but we are also tend to be more ruthless on ourselves than we are on others. And part of that comes from the fact that we have expectations within our culture that, especially as we strive to reclaim that place with God and the Constitution, we demand high standards, as we should. But we've also been subject to an unbelievable barrage of propaganda, lies, deceit, and many have been swayed to walk a dark path. So it is with us to always be humbled and to be gracious with our fellow American. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there's no truer words. We all know that every one of us has stumbled, some more than others. Every one of us has been humbled at one point or another. And it is always at one point or another, I believe, it's the temptations of the flesh in the many forms that takes. Americans have a truly beautiful spirit, beautiful spirit. And that comes out in ways you see it in so many different ways. I've often said that one of the greatest things about war is you see the greatest and the worst of humanity in a very narrow and very quick glimpse. You can see the ruthlessness of war, the wickedness of war, and at the same time, you see some of the most amazing acts of courage and grace you can ever imagine. And I will be honest with what I'm going to say. Those that do it the best and those that always inspire the world to do it better are Americans. There's few that do it any better than we do. I don't think anybody does. Our soldiers are a representation of that, meaning a representation of our culture, and they do it brilliantly. When given the opportunity to truly be emissaries, and this is how I've often referred to soldiers, they are less soldiers and more emissaries of a people. They are amazing emissaries. And nothing shows greater than their love and compassion that they show for children in this world. There's ugliness all over the world. The cabal is not just here. The cabal is in every country. It has taken its root in every single country. So this is the body of the world, the pureness of the world. And if we want to look at it in a metaphor, Christ is in this world. Christ is the body of Christ is everywhere. And on top of the body of Christ has come this nasty cancer. And it's not like it's this cancer that is just one place or another. It's everywhere that Christ is, there's a spot of cancer. Now, Christ has the ability to heal that cancer. But we are living through the body of Christ, which is then means that in order for it to heal, it is a place that we must work through the process of healing to empower the body of Christ to bring the world to a greater place. And the greatest part about that statement is that we as Americans, we as a country, are that genesis of that healing. That is something to really be blessed with. God did not create this country randomly. And I've said this, and it's definitely not scriptural. And I'm just going to say it because if I have to be forgiven for saying this, then forgive me. It's not scriptural, and I don't care when I'm about ready to say that it's not scriptural because it's what I believe. I believe that the United States of America, as a true republic, not the corporate republic, but as a true republic, is really a true promised land. I'm not one that pines and worships over Israel. It's a good country, but quite frankly, right now, it's a train wreck. And the problem with the overemphasis on Israel is that we blind ourselves to what we have within us. This country is a blessed country. It's blessed because it has the words built on it, "In God we trust." And it's given all the power to the people to use their free will to choose the type of governance in which they want. Why else would the cabal spend so much effort, so many years, to try to take away free will? Because they can't conquer free will unless they steal, cheat, deceive, and lie. They can't conquer it. When you have a country that is monolithic in its culture, meaning most everybody is the same, of the same religion, of the same descent, of the same, supposedly the same bloodline. I'm going to say it. It's not hard to rule that over time. But when you have a country that is a mix of everybody in the world, that's a country of the vision of Christ to come all together, where all can worship peacefully. That's a blessed nation, and that is what we were intended to be. And it's what we're restoring. We are truly restoring a nation for the hope of the world. And this is, again, one of those places where I've said before, I do not spend my time walking through the book of Revelation. I know many people do. I know they count the events. They try to look at the events and try to say things are coming. I have no idea. What I do know is as we understand this mass level of this cabal, I do know this. Not only do I know this in my own research, but I can tell you it was said as well by Archbishop Vigano that those in the most elite circles of power are engineering events to bring about a revelation, to bring about the Antichrist so that people will accept it. In other words, they're trying to accept an end. The question is God delivering that? And my answer is, I have no idea, and I'm not about to sit here and tell you it's going to happen. It's going to happen on this date. Because when we do that, we overlook something very precious. We overlook the gift that God has given us in this time and in this now. We are overlooking this present moment of the gift of a nation that God gave us. And in so doing, we blind ourselves. And I've literally had people tell me, you can't, the United States is not a blessed nation. It's not in the scriptures. And I shake my head. I'm like, okay, so in other words, we shouldn't exist then, right? Because it wasn't written, we don't exist. That's foolishness. That's absolute foolishness. Here's another bit of foolishness. I've mentioned before that we're in a form of Exodus. This is my opinion, okay? I've had some people claim that's blasphemous because Exodus is already over, because it was already written. Here's my response. I have no idea what God's writing in the future, and nor does anybody else. So let's be cautious about how quickly we condemn a moment and say it's not one thing or the other. God is writing this period of time. And for us to imagine that he's not writing a new chapter in Scripture is straight up foolishness. That's foolishness. We are in an amazing time, a biblical period of time, in which we must sit back and embrace the moment, not worry about whether it's going to be the end or whether it's going to be the... There isn't a country that it talks about the United States in the Bible. We live in a time that we are rising as the children of God. We are awakening the children of God. And we are living into a world where we are accountable as the children of God. If we live our entire lives locked into what has happened or what we are predicted to be in terms of ends, we are missing the point in this time of being what God has asked us to be. This is one of these traps that I truly believe is where... Let me just pause in a second and say this. Because someone will ask, well, do you not believe in revelation? Of course, I believe in revelation. What I don't believe is that I have any ability in my life to predict revelation. I've done two shows over the time of 400 and some odd episodes. I've dedicated two shows to showing how foolish, how much tomfoolery there is in predicting revelation. Both of them were rooted on the number of times and the number of movements over about 500 years that people have predicted the end of time in the book of Revelation. Every single time, here's a shocker for you, they were wrong. And I'm not talking small movements. I'm talking about people who are predicting the days and the events and all of this. They were wrong. Well, just as a point of lesson, one might imagine that if you were wrong over that many times, it might suggest something that maybe you don't know God's timing. Wow, that's amazing. Exactly, huh? So, it isn't for us to predict the end. It's for us to live in the moment and to embrace the gifts that God has given us and the opportunity to bring his love to others. So let's just say for a second that Revelation, we are in Revelation. I have no idea, not making that prediction. I don't care how many events seemingly line up with Revelation. It isn't for me to guess that or to predict that or just try to live my life as if it is happening. My life is built on a very simple pillar. This is me, you choose. This is your choice, but this is how I see life. I have an opportunity here to live into the love and faith of God and to live by his laws to help my neighbor that is in need, to love my late neighbor as I would want to be loved, to give voice to the innocent, and to use the gifts and talents which God has given me to the fullest potential. Nowhere in there does it say pine for the end of humanity, for the return of Christ. When Christ returns, he returns. If I have not done my duty per what he's instructed to live this world and to be in this world as he intended, it doesn't matter what date it is. That's the bottom line. My place here is to truly live as great as I can be by what our King and Savior has asked me to be. And I'm imperfect. And I know it, and I stumble, and I look and assess every day, and I pray to how I can be better. And not better with pride, but better with the gifts and the direction God's laid before me. My opinion. And this was much the way that I was raised, is that when we take life in that manner and we step away from the politics of religion and we step away from the doomsayers of religion that are always saying that the end is near, and I've told you that story a number of times, how always in my small town, it was going on for about 6 years, there wasn't a Sunday that went by or a Saturday that went by that somebody wasn't driving up into the driveway. And we lived in the rural country too. Knocking on the door to remind us we're going to hell unless we repent and come to Jesus right now. It's like, I already did, but you didn't know that. But I didn't do it at your church. So instead of wasting our time doing that and living in that, we should be living as Christ intended us to live. And in doing so, we affect the many by virtue of our works in faith, not simply faith alone. I don't think there's a more powerful place and way to live. That's me. And I believe that when we do that, we transform the world in ways that we've never imagined. What I also know is if I've lived that way, and if I'm now brought before Christ to ask and to attest for my life, I can honestly say I've done the best I could do. And I'm sure always there will be more that I could have done, but I will not be timid in saying I've done the best that I could do, because I've done what you've asked and not wasted my time wondering when it would end, but instead spent my time trying to get people to realize how beautiful life is with the acceptance of Christ in their heart and God in our lives. I think that's a worthy life. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I think that pretty much says it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these blessed times that we come together each day in fellowship to reflect deeply on all that you give. And on this day in particular, Lord, we are blessed just to be reflective on truly what an amazing country and amazing people we are and have become because of you. Lord, let us not forget the greatness of what is in our hearts as a nation. Let us be humbled by the true nature of our spirit of this nation. And let us use that grace as we use so willingly for others across the world to give that grace now to us within our walls, within our borders, to confront this evil, to expunge this evil, to bring it to light, and in so doing, to extend our hands of grace in such a way that we can heal this nation and heal one another. Let us boldly walk together in your light, that we may have fellowship and healing through the blood of Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. An amazing time in which we live. A heavy time in which we live. And it is a time that it takes great strength and great faith for us to be able to push through this time and not lose our footing. The fellowship that we have through Christ and the fellowship that we share with one another is that strength. In the coming days and weeks and months, more and more will be challenged. More and more will be revealed. The awakening, as we expected it, was what we thought perhaps would be something more akin to tearing off a bandage, and maybe we'll get there. But we've all had to endure what we've witnessed to experience the death of a nation, so that at the point when the time is right and God gives the word, whatever that looks like, we can then experience the light that heals a nation, brings us back together, and reminds us of how great we truly are. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. We are that change that God intends. And it's through prayer, and it's through our diligence every day of giving works to our faith that we will restore this nation. We just have to keep pressing forward. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And in the end, as always, God wins. I'll see you in about 20 minutes, Patriots, top of the hour for the next Federalist Paper. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. There's a revolution rising in the shadows.